Hearts fans, can you hear anything? Because I can't.
Oh boy.
It is an honour and a privilege to be making this selection for the best team in the NFC North. The best team in the NFC. The best team in the NFL. The Bears.
Welcome to Chicago. Welcome to Chicago.
This is Chicago. Doors open on the left at Chicago.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Chicago, coming from the 606 Media Studios. This is the TCSF podcast with E-Rock and Big Z.
Yes, sir. Back in action, baby.
Back in action. Episode 192 is brought to you by 606 Media, true Chicago sports fans, and Grit Clothing Company. Don't forget to go to gritclothingco.com and get your official TCSF podcast t-shirts. Search for keyword true Chicago and use our promo code TRUEFAN15 for 15% off your entire order. That is TRUEFAN15. Go and get your shirts now.
Right now, like right now, this minute.
Okay, oh, cool. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, X, hit that subscribe button. If you're on your favorite podcast app, remember to give us a 5-star review and drop some comments to tell us how much you love us, how much you love our voice, how much you love our faces, all that stuff. Give us that review and those 5 stars. And you can also subscribe and support the show with the monthly subscription at anchor.fm / true Chicago sports fans. Go over there and click on the support button. And if you can subscribe for as little as 99 cents a month. Hey, JC made it. All right, boys. In this live episode, the dust has settled on the Chicago Bears draft. It is time for me and the boys to break it down. So let's go. It is football all day today. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Look, I'm great, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I know it's football today. I know this. I think we all know this. But I got to mention one thing before we really get deep.
Yeah.
The Chicago White Sox have doubled their win total with a sweep of the Tampa Bay Rays, and now they're up to 6 wins on the season. Ladies and gentlemen, give a round of applause to the Southsiders. Give y'all, look at that hand. Oh, I love it. I love it. Look, y'all need something, right? Like something. You can't be sitting there going through life that way that you were. Maybe you're going to get like 11 fans now instead of 10.
It's dog day, so they have a lot of fans today.
Oh man. Look, right now, you know, me and JC went back and forth about it last week, talking about who was going to be the first overall pick, whether it would be Caleb, J. Daniels, who they should pick at number 9. And I think, you know, what I was saying was that there's no way they can pass on Caleb, and they didn't. Right. If Dunze is there at that spot, that's who they got to pick. It was the most obvious thing. Now, you know, for the sake of argument, you got to have something there where you kind of go back and forth, and I completely understand that you have to make a case for other players, but this was like the most obvious, you know, a pick that you could make, and everyone knew it. It was the worst kept secret in football.
Yeah, 100% worst kept secret in football. You know, Ryan Poles did his homework, did his job, and they were saying that he knew as of last season, midway through the season, he knew that he was going to start making these moves to put his stamp on his team, because it is his team. And, you know, he cleared house. He cleared a lot of these bad contracts. He made a lot of trades to get guys out of here, to get draft picks. We won the lottery ticket when Lovey won a game for us at the end of the season that got us the number one pick. We trade that pick and we get a haul. I mean, just like literally every single thing went right for Ryan Poles. And this man has a horseshoe the size of the Chicago bean right now.
Yeah, it's really far up there. I mean, look, I think we knew again. We knew Caleb was working out already with the Bears. We saw Keenan Allen show up at the USC Pro Day. Right. We've already seen Caleb working with DJ Moore at UFC. Okay. Him and Adunze, yes, they were on the same flight. Everyone knew. Okay. But also, when Adunze got drafted, where's Caleb? He's like, he's excited. He's geeked. He jumped into the little box where the media box that they had going on back there. Yeah. And he was like, you know, they were ready. They're like, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, look, I think you're looking at a new era of Bears football. You're talking about the number one overall pick who's supposed to be, you know, when you look at prospect as high as Andrew Luck, the highest rated guy since Andrew Luck, a really, really smart, intelligent, well-spoken, a young rookie wide receiver to go along with who you spent the fourth round pick on to get Keenan Allen, right? This everything seems to be coming together the way it needs to be.
JC, you still ready? You ready? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I mean, like I said, the only thing for me, like I said, throughout the whole process was make sure you do your due diligence. Make sure you look at all the quarterbacks. You know, I just didn't want them to get tunnel vision, focus in on Caleb, only Caleb, you know. And like I said, you know, the one thing that kind of upset me was they didn't go to Jaden Daniels' pro day. But by that time, it had seemed like they had already made up their minds. They were going with Caleb. So, but that was my only thing. You know, my only thing is, like I said, just do the due diligence. Make sure you do all your homework. Go through all the files. Go through all the teachers, all the coaching staff, all the trainers and people in the building that Caleb, you know, was involved with and dealt with. You know, like I said, my only thing. And like I said, you know, if Caleb was the pick, I was 100% on board with that. I'm fine with that. My only thing, like I said, was just make sure you don't just get the blinders and don't look at the other prospects as well. But like I said, I think they did their due diligence. They did go to, I think it was J.J. McCarthy's, you know, pro day and Bo Nix's pro day. Which I think the Bo Nix's pro day was more to look at the center Jackson Powers Johnson. But like I said, you know, to me, yeah, it was one of the, you know, and thank God Atlanta, you know.
Atlanta and between Atlanta and New York, I'm like, you guys literally screwed everyone else in the draft and gave us exactly what we wanted with our second round one pick at number 9. Yeah. Rome Atunze.
Yeah, to me, it was more of, like I said, once the fourth quarterback was off the board, like we kind of figured, and you know, when we were talking about this last week, you know, I kind of said, I really thought Marvin Harrison would go to Arizona. He did. You know, then it was a question of the Chargers, do they go Joe Alt or do they go wide receiver? Because that was the question. That was the one where it was like, okay, they could do either or. It's 50-50 to me, even though you know Harbaugh loves to run the ball. And you would honestly sit there and go, okay, maybe it's more 70-30 because Harbaugh just loves running the ball. But the Atlanta one to me was the shocker. Even though we all thought that Atlanta should have went defense, they should have taken, you know, a pass rusher. That was the one that shocked me where it, and don't get me wrong. I really am high on Penix. I think Penix is a great quarterback, but it was one of those where I'll be honest with you. When that pick came in, I started laughing. Cause it was like, good to Kirk Cousins, who everywhere he has been has talked about, I want to finish my career in Washington. Then he goes to the Vikings. I want to finish my career as a Viking. Then he goes to Atlanta, and Atlanta says, you may not finish your career here. You know what I mean? And we're taking your replacement already. So to me, that was the most laughable situation because, again, you pay a guy $200 million or whatever they pay Kirk Cousins, and then they draft his replacement.
Here's the thing is that, number one, I thought it was really funny because people kept talking about how Ryan Pace is part of that front office. He's one of the head scouting personnel, whatever. I thought that was just hilarious in general because people were already making that connection with the last time that happened when the Bears got the draft and then they got Trubisky right after that. And they're like, hey, what's going on here? You know, but it's funny because you did see Kirk Cousins come out and say, I was as shocked as anyone when they took that pick. Now, it's already came out. Ryan Poles came out and says that the Atlanta GM did contact him to try to get up into that number one spot. I don't understand. Like, if you were that desperate to get this guy. And look, I think as far as a quarterback goes, he's a good quarterback. My concern is always going to be those knees. Those he's had an ACL in each knee. I also believe he's one of the older quarterbacks at number 24 years old, right? So one of the things that and I don't remember his name, but the GM of Atlanta was like, well, if he's got to sit a couple of years, 3 or 4 years, that's a good problem to have. That's a terrible problem to have. If you're going to make that choice, you go for one of the youngest quarterbacks that you're going to have to sit behind Kirk Cousins for a couple of years. I don't understand that pick at all. Nobody does. I mean, Atlanta's probably sitting there. The only thing that I can figure is that, and the only thing that I have heard is that their head coach was absolutely in love with him. So they're like, we got to do whatever we can to get him. Kirk is 35 years old. Is he going to make it to the end of his contract, that 4-year, like $9 billion contract that Atlanta gave him? Absolutely not. I don't think so. You know, so you look at the carousel of quarterbacks that Atlanta's gone through in the last couple of years. You know, it's good for them that they have a club of quarterbacks, but it was just a really weird move considering they thought that Kirk Cousins was going to be the guy. And I'm sure a lot of Atlanta fans thought the same thing.
$100 million for a guy that's coming back from ACL tear. And then draft a quarterback. I'm sorry. Achilles. Yeah, it's wild. And I, you know, once they made that pick, I was jumping for joy because I knew exactly what the Bears are getting after that. I can't worry about Atlanta. I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't worry about Atlanta. I can't worry about New York. The entire time I'm like, it's going to happen. We're going to wish into existence. We're going to wish into existence. We already got a number one guy we've been talking about forever. And now we need Odunze to show up on the board for us. And that's exactly what happened once that pick came in. I mean, obviously, you know, grading the number one overall pick, it's got to be an A for doing their homework, an A for picking, you know, a player that has proven to college football showing you that he can actually play the same games. Yes, he's had some ups and downs. What quarterback has it? You know, the main concern was that he fumbles. Okay. Well, he had no offensive line over there. So he was running for his life, kind of like Justin was last year here. So yeah, you're going to fumble because you're trying to be a playmaker. That's going to happen. You're trying to extend the play. So that's going to happen. So for me, for the Bears, for Ryan Poles on the Caleb, I grade that as an A.
Oh, that's a home run.
I'm sorry?
That's an absolute home run.
100%.
You know, we talk about doing due diligence. We talk about looking at other players. I mean, like you mentioned before, he knew he was picking Caleb. I knew, and you knew, and everyone else knew that they were picking Caleb Williams months ago. Yeah. One thing I'll say about Caleb is that because of the NIL that we have in college sports now, which allowed Reggie Bush to get his Heisman Trophy back, which was amazing. I mean, there's so many things I can equate that to. I'm not going to do it on this show, but there's so many things I can equate that to. You know, the legality of things which previously were not legal, and now people that were previously penalized for it should not be penalized anymore. But that's neither here nor there or up here. But you know, with that NIL deal, Caleb was already living large. Yeah. And he's got this dope ass condo or whatever it is in LA, right? Ryan Clark, when he was on the Pivot podcast, they brought everyone over there. They showed him, and he just seemed like confident but not cocky, right? Like, I feel like he's a guy that's very sure of himself. He knows he was raised right. You know, he fits the culture, I think, that Ryan Poles is trying to bring to the Chicago Bears. When you look at the moves that Ryan has made going into not just this season, but the previous season, trying to line everything up. I mean, these are chess level moves when everyone else is playing checkers. I mean, you think about the fact that what they got from Carolina out of that pick and what they ended up with. I mean, you can't, and they have another pick. I think what, the second round pick next year.
Yeah. So
yep. Come on.
This
is ridiculous. This is exciting.
Yeah, we got Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, Montez Sweat, Keenan Allen, mm-hmm. and what would be the other? Oh,
DJ Moore.
Bates from
Bates in the fifth round, right? Yeah, in the fifth round. That is a haul. And we still got another pick next year. Thank you, Lovey. Thank you, Carolina, for being a disorganized organization. I think every team in Carolina is just in shambles at the moment, you know.
The shame of it all in reality, right, is the fact that they went out and got Bryce Young.
They and got
CJ Stroud had the type of season he had last year, the year after Lovey did that to hook up the Bears. I mean, that's an MVP right there. It's the way that this team has turned around. I'd have to say in my lifetime, I can't remember a draft that leaves me as excited as this one does. And that's only based on the first two picks in the first round. You can't tell me anyone obviously there wasn't no one else really. I mean, other people did, but I mean, like, to that caliber had two first round top 10 picks, and to come away with these two guys, it was just like, again, a masterclass.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tackle that we picked up, I'm not even going to try and say his name yet.
I got you. It's Kieran Amagaje.
Amagaje. Okay. You know, the only thing I, you know, because supposedly he had hamstring injury. So therefore, like, he didn't finish out the season last year. I think he only played six games from what I had heard. Sounds like he's a fantastic athlete and everything, but he wasn't able to do much at the combine. And then the rumor was, had he been able to go to the Senior Bowl and do everything at the combine and everything, that he probably would have worked himself into a second round pick. Again, we got him a little later. Beautiful. The one thing I did say, that when we took a punter, I wasn't exactly, you know, happy about that, because Van Pran, the center, was still out there on the board. And I feel like we still need a center and we still need some interior offensive line. So when Van Pran was out there, I thought that was going to be the pick. And then all of a sudden, you know, we drafted a punter, and I'm like we had a center right there, like, staring us in the face. So, you know, polls must be really high on this Bates guy that, you know, he's tried to acquire before in a draft pick and then finally was able to trade for him this year. So he must be really high on Bates to once again stare a center down the barrel of a gun and say, nope, I'm going to go take a punter instead.
I think it's not just Bates, but I think it's, you still have you're going to have roster cuts, right? They're going to come across. So I think it's that. I think he's playing chess when we're all sitting here, like, learning how to play checkers, right? I think there's certain things that he already had in mind. And you look at Tory Taylor, you know, that when we had the intro of the show with the guy from England, the international player of the year, or the international fan of the year, who says the best team in the NFC North, the best team in the NFC, the best team in the NFL. And then he comes out and he said, as an Englishman talking about a punter, they brought a punter. The big thing, the thing that was stupid was that Rich Eisen had to stick his beak in there and start talking while the guy, oh my God, shut the hell up.
You stepped all over it.
24 hours in a 3-day span. You can't shut up and let this guy just sit there and talk. Like, shut up. The funny thing was, like, oh man, you got an Englishman to say punter. Like, that was kind of funny. But look, when you look at how bad Iowa football was historically through the season, terrible. He was their only, he was their MVP. Yeah. And you got this Aussie kid who can pin it down. You're looking, again, when I talk about chess and not checkers, you're looking at your defense. We know that we can pin you back, and we're trying to get Caleb the best possible field position that you can get, right? This is not built overnight, but again, what is this? Is a couple of off seasons now. Peace.
Well, according to Caleb, though, we're not going to be punting.
That was fantastic.
So according to Caleb, if we're not going to be punting, that's a wasted pick, isn't it?
No.
Like, when we have taken the center?
I absolutely love that. He calls up. He's like, hey, buddy, happy to have you on board. We're not going to need you that much. That is just like, I don't know, man. And then Roma Dunze comes out and says, I already hate Green Bay. When I see the color green, it makes me want to puke. That was the highest share, the highest thing on our page this week. It had like 1,600 shares. And I meticulously made all those draft graphics for each player, right? I got some more stuff coming in down the line. But that was the one. It's that hatred of Green Bay. I've been talking to Packers fans on Facebook, and I'm already seeing them. It's like, man, I really hated this draft for us as a Packers fan. We hate what happened because now the Bears are actually a threat. Now, Adunze, Caleb, Torrey Taylor, Amagaji hasn't taken the field in the NFL yet. We don't know what's going to happen, but damn, am I excited because, like I said, I don't think I've seen even just with those first two picks, a draft like this for our Chicago Bears.
Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, one of the nice things is, like I said, with Amagaji, we've really been kind of filling that backup role with, you know, some veterans there that, you know, like, yeah, they're filling in, but this guy's like a high end, like can actually be a starter potential guy. So to have him, you know, God forbid any injuries happen to Wright or Braxton Jones, this is going to be perfect to have him waiting in the wings. We haven't had that guy that, you know, could fill in on the offensive line, could be, you know, a swing tackle, can be a whatever. Like I said, we've really struggled with that. So to see that as a need and fill it, that to me is perfect. Braxton Jones also will be coming up on a contract, I think, within next year or the year after. So again, maybe a year or two to get his feet under him. And like I said, maybe we move on from Braxton and we don't pay Braxton what a left tackle needs to be paid. We keep that salary cap low from that position, and we keep paying some other players. So, like I said, yeah, I mean, there's so much to be excited for and ready to roll. I mean, the only problem I see is, you know, the Lions had a pretty good draft, the Packers had a pretty good draft, and, you know, the Vikings, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I mean, our division alone, I mean, there's so much going on. It's going to be a brutal,
it's going to be exciting battle,
you know.
It's going to be exciting season with everybody in the NFC North to be competitive for once. You're going to have all these teams. So you're going to rebuild these rivalries. Obviously, you have the Green Bay and the Chicago Bears, right? But now everybody's gunning for that number one spot, and everyone's almost on that even playing field at the moment. Obviously, we have Green Bay with a second-year starter now, third-year starter with Love over there. You got Detroit, who really has Goff firing on all cylinders, and they have a potent offense and good defense and a hell of a coach over there. Minnesota's a hot mess right now. I don't know how they're going to fix that whole situation. The Bears are a young and upcoming team that's going to go out there and punch people in the face. Like, oh, no, I'm on the block now. It's my block. And that's what you want. That's what Caleb's is saying. It's like, no, I got a weapon here. I got a weapon there. I got a weapon there. Hey, that punter we just got, he's just going to sit on the bench and just carry my clipboard all around all season because we ain't punting. We going all four downs and we're going to just shove it down your throat. That's what we're going to do. And I really love that. I really love that. We needed that attitude. We haven't had that attitude since we had like Mike Brown and Urlacher and all those guys, that defense. They had attitude and people were scared of that defense. That's what we need. And finally, it's on the offensive side. So it should be very exciting. This is going to be probably one of the most exciting Bears seasons, upcoming Bears seasons of our lives. And we've been, 42 years? 43 for E-Rock? I mean, it's so crazy because we've always been known for the defensive team that runs it down your throat. And, you know, we're going to play black and blue, you know, football. Now, it looks like, what's the football game where there's no rules and you just
blitz?
Blitz, yeah. Like we have all this firepower. We're just gonna throw it over everybody, and you know, we're gonna get hit, flip over, and keep running. You know, it feels like a video game. We really have a video game roster right now, and you know, pray to whatever God you pray to that these kids do develop into what we expected them to develop into. To address a couple things that you guys said, Kyrian Amagaje. Hey, I got it right.
Sure you did.
Let's see. I looked up what they said about him. He says, from a size and athletic standpoint, Kyrian pops on film because of his rare length, light feet, and smooth body control to mirror pass rushers or create momentum as a run blocker. Though he does a great job repositioning his hands and feet, his inexperience is also apparent when it comes to timing and adjustment fundamentals. So he will not be starting week one. That's okay. He's going to learn under Braxton Jones, under Larry Borum, and, you know, he'll come off the bench. You know, he'll spare them, and then hopefully by the end of the season, he should be starting.
He's definitely a project. I think they came into it knowing that. I think Ryan Poles did his research on this guy, and I will speak on the fact that he is a local guy who went to Yale, and none of you can sit here and tell me that I've watched all the Yale football games because you're full of shit. Like, you're a liar flat out. Like, no one watched Yale football. His mom was like, wait, Yale had a football team? Like, that's how, like, but look, they did their research. They saw, and like JC said, you know, if he didn't have that injury, he probably would have popped somewhere in the second round, you know? So, but when I mentioned him, you know, going to Yale, what that tells me is you're talking about another well-spoken, intelligent, respectful cat. He's not going to sit there and be like, well, I don't, you know, like Odell Beckham, like always push back against somebody. Well, you know, you can't tell me. He's going to be the dude that will appreciate his spot in the NFL. It's the same way that Dunze speaks. He's a very well-spoken, intelligent guy. Same thing with Caleb. I think even with Tory Taylor, when you heard him speak, you just heard him. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can't wait. Yes, sir. I'm excited. This and that. Sir, 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 sir. I don't call nobody sir. Right. Like, so, I mean, he's better than I am. You know what I mean? As far as like that kind of attitude. But yeah, I mean, like, I think they did a really, really good job of looking at high character guys. What the kid from last year that they passed on that was losing their mind about Jalen Carter. Thank you, Jalen Carter. I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm so good with that because you started to build your line, starting with Tevin Jenkins, going down the line piece by piece by piece. Even Braxton Jones, they felt good about him. He is a draft pick of the Bears. You know what I mean? So you look at what they were trying to build, you know, giving up draft capital this year to bring in players that they think could be difference makers like Montez Sweat, right? Like, again, DJ Moore, so on and so forth. Even bringing in Keenan Allen with that fourth round pick that they traded to the Chargers. I can't stress enough when I talk about chess versus checkers. He's cooking, man. And look, we're not talking about macaroni and cheese in the box, right? We're talking about a full, like, back in the day, MacArthur's. I heard it's not very good now. But if y'all know soul food in Chicago, MacArthur's back in the day was the spot. And that's where Ryan Poles was cooking when he first came to Chicago when he was on the Bears many years ago.
I haven't had that, so. Oh, I have Soleil or something like that on Chicago Avenue. That's very popular. So
same thing. All right. So the Bears did also. Everyone thought that I think that was part of the outrage when they got Taylor, the punter from Iowa. They're like, "That's your last pick of the draft." Well, guess what the Bears did? Guess what Ryan Poles decided to do? They got the fifth round, 144 overall pick. And they traded their fourth round pick next year to the Bills, another Bills trade, so they can move inch back into the draft. And they picked up defensive lineman Austin Booker from Kansas. He was like their top tackler, their top everything on the line. So they're a lot of people were high on this kid. Obviously, you know, when you get that late in the draft, you know, you're not getting like the five star. But guess what? People get drafted in later rounds all the time. Richard Dent was drafted in the eighth round, which doesn't exist in the NFL anymore, okay? So, again, he went after a guy that he thought could be helpful and productive to the team. And I got to say, we got to see how this draft is going to play out. But so far, Claypool was the one hiccup that I've seen out of Poles. We got to see how everything goes. Even with that punter, I know JC hated that pick. But I don't even remember the damn the guy they had before, but he stunk. He was a seventh round pick punter. You get this guy right here. There was a lot of teams that were high on the punter. So I mean, look, you miss on 100% of the swings you don't take, right? you got to take a swing.
I wouldn't necessarily say like I hate the pick. To me, it was just like there was nobody that wanted to trade up. Like we couldn't have gotten, you know, another fifth or a seventh or, you know, anything, you know, to move back 10 spots, you know. To me, that was my only question is like, you know, like there was nothing available. Nobody. No. All right. You know, and again, if we were going to move up and back in with the Hunter and whatever pick to grab the punter, then that I would understand. But like I said, to me, the fourth, you know, like I said, I thought it was a little rich for my blood, but, you know, it is what it is. I get the point. You know, we're working on field spacing. Like if we can't drive the ball down the field, we're going to pin you within the 20 and then our defense is going to, you know, hold and, you know, stop you from getting down the field. Now, as for the edge rusher that we did pick up, he definitely fits that body type that Fluce and Poles likes. What is he, 6'4", 250 or 265? So he's definitely in that body archetype that they prefer. They like those tall, long arm defensive ends. The only problem with him is, you know, from everything you read, like he only started, I think it was like one game last year. So he was kind of more of a rotational guy from the sounds of it. Sounds like he's one of those high motor, you know, chase you down from behind kind of guys. So, you know what, if he gets with Sweat and, you know, we can hopefully get him trained up, get him some secondary, you know, other than just bull rush, hopefully he becomes something. You know, like I said, he's got the body type, you know, that they like. You know, you can't teach that body type. You know, there's only so many guys that are 6'4", 6'5". Now, the only thing is on his draft, whatever report, they basically said, you know, he didn't have much bend, didn't have much dip. So, again, getting around that corner could be an issue for him in the future. But like I said, if we teach him some spin moves, we teach him some other moves that don't necessarily have to do with him dipping and getting around that edge, maybe coming back inside. Like I said, you know, I hope he becomes a guy, you know. But like I said, I mean, with everything we walked away with in this draft, there's nothing to be mad at. Like I said, we got a punter that's going to bury you deep. You know, I think it was, there was a statistic for the punter that in 100 and I think it was 145 attempts, he had like some ridiculous like rate of pinning you within the 20. I think, or maybe it was like 145 of his attempts, 145, he was able to pin you in the 20.
He had a 46.3 yard average on punting. Over 4,400 yards. He had 32 punts inside the 20-yard line this past season and led with 29 fair catches. Let's see what else he got. His 11.9.
Yeah, over his career, I think it was like 145, where 145 times he pinned it in 20.
So he's accurate.
Over his college career. So, I mean, that's... And again, they were showing him like he punted 70 yards, you know. So even though the average is 46, that just means your offense got a little further down the field than normal. But like I said, to have a guy that can pin you down there deep, you know, the other problem is like our punter was not very good. I would like to see us bring in some more legs for training camp because. You know, I know Cairo Santos has been a good kicker for us, but his length is 52 yards max, which to me is not very good. You know, when you look around the league, some of these guys are kicking 62, 64. And like I said, to have Cairo maxing out at 52.
But listen, we got a great punter. We got Williams. We ain't gonna need to kick like that. I mean, we gonna need. Listen, what are we talking about here? What are you?
We putting points on the board no matter what. If we get across that 50, I want points on the board.
We're not even getting extra points. We're going for two now.
That's kicking 60 yards, man.
Listen, I got a brand new robotic leg, bro. I'm ready. Let's go. I'm kicking it from here to Green Bay. I don't care about the wind off the lake. Let's go.
Yeah. Like I said, to me, it's just one of those, like I said, if, because what was it last year? Like we got into a game and it was a windy game, mm-hmm. and they basically got to go for it because his legs. Yeah, I mean, like, so to me, like I said, I wouldn't mind bringing in a few more camp legs. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, if Cairo still is the best you got, then fine. But, you know, like I said, I'm all for competition. So, like I said, hopefully we can bring in a couple more camp legs and see what we got.
It's funny that you say that because Ryan Poles came out and says it is going to be difficult to make this roster. Okay. He's looking for upgrades at every single position. You can tell there's positions that he's comfortable at, right? You look at, like I said, last year's offseason, bringing in the two linebackers, shoring up Jalen Johnson, you know, looking at going across the board, looking at the defensive moves that he's made in the secondary. He seems very comfortable with the moves that he's made as far as that end of that side of the ball. There's, of course, a couple, you know, looking for, I mean, Ngakoue still in play, right? Like he's a guy that when he had a broken ankle last year. But again, when I talk about like some of the veteran free agents that are going to be out there, just like last year, Ngakoue didn't sign. And so like they were getting ready to take the field, right? So like there's definitely options out there. And you look at the kid they just brought in, we were just talking about, the first thing he did in his press conference was go up to Montez or talk about being excited to learn from Montez Sweat. Now there was a lot of debate whether they should have went after Chase Young because he's a couple years younger than Montez and all this stuff. But guess what? Montez plays younger than Chase Young, and Chase Young, I mean, did he get a deal yet? Because he went to San Francisco in the trade. He was a free agent, so I haven't heard his name in a while.
Crickets.
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know if he got picked up yet. But to me, like Ngakoue, like I know he's a name out there, but he didn't really impress me very much last year. I know he had some injuries and stuff last year, but to me, like we definitely can't give him the same contract that we gave him last year. He's gonna have to come in for a little less money. That's just my opinion. Like I said, looking at the roster, I mean, we upgraded a safety with I'm blanking on his name now. But we replaced Ejax. In my opinion, the safety we got now, huge upgrade. Byard, there we go. So to me, like that is a huge upgrade in the secondary. You know, we got Stevenson, we got Gordon, we got Jalen Johnson. So like I said, I mean, we're looking pretty good in the secondary. I know the second game we went against the Packers, I mean, they kind of just tore us with these under dink and dunk in like finding the open zones. And they kind of just move the ball down the field on us. So like I said, we got to find some way of, you know, fixing that. And, you know, but to me, like I said, Getting an upgrade to Ejax was such a huge move in the offseason because, I mean, unfortunately, Ejax, he doesn't tackle. He doesn't want to tackle. He has no interest in tackling. So to me, to get Byard in, and like I said, that to me is a huge upgrade.
So just a quick look here at a couple of the other free agent signings they made. Jake Kerum, who is an offensive lineman formerly from the Seahawks. Byron Kerum, is D-line from the Texans. Jake Martin from D-line from the Colts. Everyone's favorite, bum Dante Pettis is back. Yay. So, and then what is his name? I just said his name. Simone Biles' husband. He's here too. He's here too. And guess what? They already love Chicago way more than Green Bay. how easy is that? You know what I mean? Like you went from a town that has one thing going on eight times a year to, you know, the best summer city in the world.
Yeah, well, Simone said she was happy not to have to jump on two planes to get to one place, you know. So now she could just hop on a plane straight to Chicago.
And don't forget DeAndre Swift. Do not forget DeAndre Swift. I mean, that right there. You look at again. I can't stress enough checkers or chess versus checkers. It's been upgrades at every position. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy what Poles has been able to do in three seasons, being able to undo what the other Ryan did. Right?
Yeah. All right, boys. Let's
for me, it's more the depth now. You know, like I said, it's making sure, like I said, you know, taking the offensive tackle this year in the draft, perfect. That builds our depth. Right. So now we are a little more secure. If there's an injury that happens, like I said, we got somebody waiting in the wings that, you know, should hopefully be a decent player ready in the wings, you know. And that's the thing is, you know, you look at some of these teams, the Houston Texans now, you know, I mean, the Steelers had an amazing draft this year. Arizona, you know, they had 11 something picks, so they built their depth now. Like I said, they got a ton of like roster depth sitting behind them ready to go. So to me, like I said, you know, that's where the Bears need to be. You know, like we're talking about Dante Pettis, well, yes, he's not that guy, but again, he's going to be battling with Scott and, oh God, who's the wide receiver that was like 26 years old when we drafted?
Valus Jones.
There we go. So, like I said, you know, I think Valus may have a role on this team just now because of the new kickoff and punt return rules that have changed. So, I think he may have a role with that.
That is his job, to carry everyone's bags. Go home.
Like I said, I think he has a role as a punt and kick returner now with the new rules. I mean, even Dante Pettis potentially, you know, I don't know who or what Pettis's role was. You know, maybe he was a punt returner more last year or whatever, but
listen.
I said, it's decent depth, you know, that Pettis has played a role, and he had a decent role with San Francisco when he was like a freshman or sophomore in the league.
That should be his role. I'm tired. Look, yeah. We've upgraded all these positions. We got to stop letting these bums stay here. We don't need Pettis no more. Go away. Right. Tyler Scott, you brought him in from Cincinnati because he was a fast young guy. He had a problem holding onto the ball. Look, you, like I said, Ryan Poles came out and says it will be difficult to make this roster. Okay. Yeah. You still got to look at the free agents out there, make your moves. I'm good with Valus Jones being gone. I'm good with Dante Pettis being gone. Backfill your roster with guys who they just couldn't afford to pay another team, but still could be valuable to an NFL team. We're refreshing. We can get rid of the garbage now. Just toss it out. And let's keep going. Let's keep moving. Move forward. Yeah,
the one guy that I told you guys about last, there, you know, once we had already signed off, the one wide receiver that I kept an eye on was Malik Washington out of Virginia. You know, he was a 5'8" and maybe 3/4 guy, so he's a smaller guy, 185 pounds, but he's one of those Wes Welker types. You know, he 114 catches in college last season, 1400 yards, I think it was eight or nine touchdowns, but only three drops on all the targets that he had, which I think he had like 140 or 150 targets. He only had three drops the entire season last year. And where did he end up? The freaking Miami Dolphins. That was the one guy I was keeping an eye on, you know, as a very late round guy. And he ends up going to the Miami Dolphins where, you know, he's
a speedster. Yeah. I did see the guy.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break real quick, and then we'll come back and we'll go into what's going to go on next with the Bears, especially with free agency and the depth chart. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
This is Chicago. Doors.
This one.
Hey, true Chicago sports fans, show off your Chicago pride with some fresh clothes from Grit Clothing Company. At Grit Clothing, they create that simple yet classic style that represents that Chicago Southside lifestyle. From t-shirts to hoodies, hats to glassware, they've got you covered. Grit has everything you need to represent your Chicago pride. So do it right now. Check out gritclothingco.com and use the promo code TrueFan15.
TrueFan15
for 15% off your entire order. Let me say it again. That's gritclothingco.com and use the promo code TrueFan15 for 15% off of your entire order.
Hey guys, it's Steven.
And this is Sean, and you are listening to True Chicago Sports Fans.
Don't forget to listen to No War on the Weekend. New episodes on Monday. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, so we're going to go do a couple of shots. So let's kick it back over to Big Z. No War on the
Weekend. Welcome back to the True Chicago Sports Fan Podcast with Big Z in the house. We got E-Rock and we got JC, Dynasty Fantasy Football. It has been all Bears all day, all night, all summer. Until opening day, it is literally going to be like that the rest of the summer because, you know, the White Sox suck, the Bulls suck, the Blackhawks suck. The Cubs may make some noise, hopefully. But, you know, it is super refreshing to be on the positive side talking about the Bears. It's going to be fun talking about them for 17 weeks during the season plus the preseason. But them tickets are going to be hard to get now, especially if you're going to go to Halas Hall for training. What is it?
Training camp.
Yeah, we went there.
Mini camp, training camp. Yeah, we went up there a couple years ago. It's going to be hard to get up there. And, you know, those tickets are going to go for premium, and I'm going to have to call in a couple favors again. So we got the draft covered. Ryan Poles gets an A for his draft grade. I know drafting a punter in the fourth round like JC is a little rich, but we've been saying that he's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. He went out there and got the best special teamer while everyone else was thinking something else. So he got a specialist, he got a surgeon on the special teams. That's what he got. So now that that's done, we should be looking now at our depth chart and seeing what holes are left to fill. So if you guys can pull up your depth chart for the Chicago Bears, obviously we know that a wide receiver, we are set. At tight end, we are set.
Yep.
Right? At running back, we are set. So on offense, what holes do we have that we need to fill? We know we have center that needs to be upgraded. We know that. But what else can we fill?
So they did release the undrafted free agents that the Bears signed. I'll run that down for you real quick. Austin Reed, Western Kentucky quarterback. He started at SIU, finished at Western Kentucky. He was the Conference USC Newcomer of the Year, second team all-conference status in 22. They brought in Brendan Bates, University of Kentucky tight end, Ian Wheeler, Howard University running back. He scored kick return touchdowns at Howard in each of the last three seasons, so that they could be looking at him as a returner. Theo Benedict, he is a University of British Columbia offensive lineman. They went north of the border for this one, so they grabbed a Canadian, so, you know, he's going to bring all his syrup. Carl Jones, UCLA edge defender. He was actually on the other side of Laiatu Latu from UCLA. So I'm sure during the scouting process, they got a good look at him. Jamri Croma, he is James Madison D end, another D end East West Shrine Bowl participant, all first team, all Sun Belt performer. And the guy named Reddy Stewart, a Troy University cornerback, all Sun Belt first team honoree. So he had 9 interceptions and 3 pick sixes in his college career. And seven of those 9 picks came in the last 2 seasons. So you can see where they're going. You're going defensive end. You know what I mean? So these are guys that, you know, they might make the team. You're going to see them in the preseason, but that's a couple of guys that they went after in the undrafted free agency pool. Funny enough, so as far as the remaining free agents in the NFL right now, you know, as far as veterans go, a couple of former Chicago Bears with Trevor Siemian and Brian Hoyer. You know, I think you look at what's going on in the quarterback room. There's definitely I still think that they could use a more established guy. You also have Ryan Tannehill out there, which I wouldn't be opposed to. But Ryan Tannehill is going to be a guy that signs with a team that has like an emergency and someone that gets injured. Funny thing today, I think it was either today or yesterday, Ezekiel Elliott went back to Dallas, which I thought was kind of cool. Good for him, because they don't have nothing going on down there. The Dallas Cowboys didn't do a damn thing in free agency. So it's very interesting, and glad for my guy Miguel, who was on the show way back when, the firefighter. Good for him. He got Zeke back, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't know why you would want him. But I think they're pretty set at running back too, but you still got like guys like Dalvin Cook, Cam Akers, Kareem Hunt is a name that I kind of wanted the Bears to go after a couple times. And as far as wide receivers is kind of interesting. Michael Thomas is still out there. Michael Gallup, Mecole Hardman, DJ Chark. There's a lot of guys that were names a couple of years ago. Randall Cobb, the you know, 47-year-old receiver that's been following around Aaron Rodgers for the last few seasons. Jakeem Grant is another guy that was on the Bears at one point, a returner that was on the Dolphins as well. So there's definitely a couple of guys out there. I don't care about tight ends. Offensive tackles. David Bakhtiari is out there. Now, I'm pretty sure he was injured at the end of the last season, and I'd be kind of surprised with the way that the Green Bay kind of handles their own guys if he doesn't end up back there in some capacity. Old Bear Charles Leno, who has been at Washington for the last couple of seasons, is out there. Riley Reiff is out there. Jason Peters, who is another guy that's 47 years old, and I think Mekhi Becton just signed somewhere else. You know, there's definitely, again, there's guys out there that can be had, but I think we look at centers, Scott Quisenberry, Brian Allen, Lucas Patrick, who, funny enough, Lucas Patrick came into my job a few months ago.
Really?
Yeah. You saw him roaming around, and I was like, hey, who's that guy? And I was like, he's not a very good football player. That's who he is. Connor Williams, Mason Cole, Brian Allen, Lucas Patrick, Connor McGovern, Scott Quisenberry, and Nick Gates are your free agent centers currently. So, I mean, I guess there's names out there, a couple of names that people have recognized, but there's a reason, again, why Lucas Patrick, who was a previous Green Bay Packer, why he flamed out here in Chicago. So there's names out there. It's just not anyone that you necessarily want on your team.
We got Beto chiming in. He said he was talking about you have to yell for Cubs win and bear down. We got David watching from Cedar Hill, Texas. What's up, David?
Yeah.
Yes, he says, congratulations on getting the number one pick, Caleb Williams. Thanks, David. It's going to be a fun and exciting season. One thing that we didn't touch on today, the Buffalo Bills are trading Stephon Diggs to Houston along with a 2024 sixth-round pick and a 2025 fifth-rounder in exchange for a second round in 2025. This is huge.
The rich are getting richer because the way that the Texans looked last year, and then you add a guy like Stephon Diggs to this team. Now Tank Dell, yeah. It was news about Tank Dell. He got shot at a party in Miami, I think it was. So it didn't seem to be anything major. Seems like, you know, someone with a case of the bang bangs down there. Cause I think 10 people got shot. I don't think anyone got like very seriously shot, but yeah, I mean, it's just, you know,
yeah, it was supposedly cause I have Tank Dell on my, fantasy team. So it was supposedly started out as a fist fight and an argument, and then young kid with a gun decided to go bang bang, as you said. But supposedly Tank Dell was, you know, minor wound from everything that was said, in and out of the hospital overnight. So hopefully he's good and everything's okay with him. But yeah, I mean, Houston Texans, the rich just keep getting richer. You know, kind of like the Bears, you know, it's just, they're making great moves. They're, you know, taking players that from teams that are overstretched on the salary cap, and you know, they have young quarterbacks that they can afford to spend the money. You know, unfortunately, I don't know when the salary cap and the quarterback money starts drying up and teams start saying, listen, we're already paying you $50 million a year. We can't go to 60. We can't go to 70. We can't go to 80. Like, there's only a certain percentage of the salary cap that we can, you know, allot to your position. And we're starting to stretch that now, where you see that, you know, granted, Kansas City has done more with less. You know, they were able to extend Kelsey today. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you look at their wide receiver room, and, I mean, their wide receiver room got a little worse because you don't know what's going to happen with Rice after that vehicle accident on a highway.
Yep.
But, I mean, they haven't been doing very well at drafting wide receivers in Kansas City. And like I said, they're not spending big money on the position. Their best corner, they just basically traded away. So because they couldn't pay him. So it's one where, you know, you look at, was it like maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago, you know, Drew Brees and Tom Brady were making $20 million. Now all of a sudden we're pushing 60 in a matter of less than 10 years. So like teams eventually are going to have to slow down this, you know, we have to top and top and top and top and top and, you know, keep going above and beyond. You know, at some point we got to look at a player and go, yeah, you're good, but you're not better than so-and-so. Like, well, I understand you want to be the best paid guy, but guess what? You're not the best player.
That's the situation that Kansas City found themselves in, right? Because you and that's the situation that I think the Bears hope that they're in a couple years. When you look at the two rookies that they just brought in the top 10 picks of the draft. But I mean, you can't not pay Pat Mahomes, right? You have to pay that guy. And that's what really burned them. That's the reason that they don't have Tyreek Hill on the team anymore. And yeah. Yes, they have Kelsey, and they're finding ways to win championships still. But I mean, you can see physically what the toll has taken on Pat Mahomes in the last couple of seasons. I mean, he's limping and just dragging his body to the end of the season. They got knocked out in the very first game of the season and I think it was kind of a little bit of a foreshadowing to see what the Detroit Lions were going to do throughout the season when they knocked down the door on the Kansas City Chiefs in the very first game of last year on that Thursday night game. But at the end of the day, what do you see? You see Mahomes and Andy Reid and Kelsey once again hoisting up that trophy. And I think that's a testament to him. And I think that's what we're hoping can happen in Chicago, right? Whether it's a couple of years from now and Keenan Allen is, you know, watching because he's no longer in the NFL. And maybe DJ Moore is already aged out at that point, because now you're talking about Caleb and Rome being older guys in the NFL, right? That's where you want to be. That's where you hope to be, that you have to sit there and like, well, we're good enough to have to figure it out with whoever we have. Martez Van Skelding, whatever, the scalding my skin with a crappy play, whatever, the stupid guy.
But like, the bottom line is, you know, to me, eventually, like, and I understand, you know, there's all this money from the streaming services coming in and all this stuff and the salary cap's increasing and yada, yada, yada. But the salary cap is not increasing at the same rate that the player salaries are increasing. Nope. Like I said, I mean, you got wide receivers getting $30 million a year. You got quarterbacks getting $50 to $60 million a year. You got, you know, defensive tackles, left tackles. Like, I mean, they're all getting paid. Like, the only position not getting paid anymore is tight end and running back.
Running back.
So, and like I said, it's one of those where, like I said, I just look at it, you know, for the next 5 years, and this was part of it. This is why we didn't stick with Justin Fields, right? So that we could reset that salary cap on the rookie quarterback scale, and, you know, we have that salary cap to spend elsewhere. So, you know, big up the polls. He made that move, made that decision. You know, going back to our depth chart, I mean, just going over it, you know, looking at, you know, let's look at it. Wide receiver. DJ Moore, Roma Dunne, Keenan Allen, Bayless Jones, Tyler Scott. Then we got Colin Johnson, Dante Pettis, Nasimba Webster, and ODI Hilaire. Yep. Left tackle, you got Braxton Jones with Kyrian behind. Then right tackle, you got Darnell Wright, Larry Borum, which Borum, you know, has been serviceable when needed. Right guard, you got Nate Davis. Center right now looks like you got Tevin Jenkins and Braxton Jones. So that's your starting, which I believe Tevin Jenkins is a free agent next year. So we'll have to look at that next year, potentially in the draft. Running back, we got Swift, Herbert, Roshan. Perfect. And you got Travis Horner as kind of that smaller scat back role. To me, like I said, looking at this, you know, we really need to see hopefully Zach Pickens, who we took last year in the draft. Hopefully he comes along this year. Because we did lose one of our defensive tackles, or quote unquote nose tackle, in the offseason. But you look at, you got Montez Sweat, Andrew Billings, Jervon Dexter Sr., DeMarcus Walker, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Jack Sanborn. Linebacker, maybe depth wise, we could use some depth there. Behind TJ, Tremaine, and Sanborn. You know, I don't know that we have, you know, that linebacker behind that you would really trust if one of those guys goes down. Strong safety, you got Brisker and Owens. That's perfect. You know, you got Byard at free safety. Maybe we could use something behind him. But other than that, Kyler Gordon, Stevenson, and Jalen Johnson. So, and who was the rookie last year? Was it Terrell Smith that was kind of playing when Gordon was hurt? He was a great option as well, behind those three starters and Stevenson, Jalen, and Gordon. So, like I said, you know, Trenton Gill, who was our punter last year, you know, he wasn't the best punter. So, you know, we go out, we get a young punter that can punt 70 yards. Boom. There we go. You know, we're moving on. Like I said, Cairo Santos, I would really love to bring in a camp leg to go against him. Somebody younger, a younger guy from college, you know, that hopefully can, you know, punt more than, or kick more than 52 yards. But other than that, looking at the depth chart, I'm not mad at it. Like I said, you know, I think center and right guard would be the only things I'd be looking at, like long term, in the way of, you know, having some depth there for the long term. But other than that, I'm not mad at anything on our depth chart right now.
No, I actually kind of like what Nate Davis brought to the table last year when you saw him when he was healthy. He seemed like a
And that's the thing, is when he was healthy. Healthy much here in last year. So
that's the thing with any position. It doesn't matter, but I think he does have the talent there. I think that, if I'm not mistaken, he did have a couple of mental health issues that he was kind of dealing with, and that's what held him back early in the season. Physical injuries are what they are. You can't, you know, you can do whatever you can as far as training and things like that to help it. But I mean, I do appreciate the fact that the NFL has really taken the initiative to focus on mental health for a lot of players. There was a story that came out. It was Jerry Rice's son who was just drafted. I forget which team he was drafted to, but he either directly after the draft or instead of attending the draft, he went to attend the funeral of a former teammate of his who, you know, they found passed away in his apartment, and it seems like it was self-inflicted. So it's there's a lot of things going on as far as like the NFL really taking the initiative and pointing that out and making sure that, hey, it's not just a physical thing, it's a mental thing. And for anyone who watched Ted Lasso,
great show.
anyone that watched Ted Lasso knows how important that is to not just the mental health of an individual, but the mental health of a team and how they support each other. And I think that's one of the more encouraging things about a guy like Caleb Williams, is because he's all about that. He's all about bringing everyone up. You notice that he has made contact with, like I said, with every draft pick that they made. He formed a connection with Odunze before they even made the draft. And, you know, Odunze was flying that plane, so we all know what was going on over there.
He was flying the plane?
That was like, hey, they were on the plane together. They must be, you know what I mean? That was kind of, but one name that was really, really stands out to me is Jerron Dexter. Okay. He was a guy that really seemed to, that they were really high on, and he really seemed to kind of come on, especially towards the end of the season when they got Sweat, they got someone to kind of play on the other side. So it'll be really interesting. I'm not the other side next to him. It'll be really interesting to see how he's developed in this off season. I really do think that, as silly as it may sound, but bringing in a guy like Caleb, like Odunze, and the way that they speak and their, the fact that they're well-spoken and intelligent, I think that bodes well for the mental health of the team. It's, again, as weird as that sounds, but when you have guys that seem sure of themselves, seem like, yes, look, guys, like, we're going to have ups, we're going to have downs. I mean, you all have been part of a team, whether it's been playing or coaching. You understand that there is a dynamic when it comes to the people that are around you that helps you out with your success, because confidence is infectious. It's contagious, right? So when you look at the way that Rick Grimes, Matt Eberflus has come on in the last like few months, and the way that he communicates with his team, I think we're in a really good spot. Seeing Poles confident, not just when he's out there talking about the players, but when he's talking about the moves that he's made, when he talks about his relationship with Eberflus, his relationship with the rest of the coaches, Kevin Warren being around to support everyone. I think that this is it, and it's been said on multiple shows and multiple times, this is the best situation for a rookie quarterback to come into ever. You could say that if you want to. I'm not going to dispute that.
Yeah, I would say the Vikings are a very close second this year. I mean, with their wide receiver core as well, with Jordan Addison and Jamar Jefferson, they don't have a terrible offensive line. Like I said, I don't think they got as good of a quarterback as we did. But, I mean, they definitely put – of all the positions – I think the command, it was us, the Commanders, and definitely the Vikings were the best landing spots for these quarterbacks, in that order. That said, you know, talking about Jerron Dexter, he was, of all the defensive tackles that were drafted last year, he was only second to Carter in like pass rush and quarterback pressures. And even that, seeing as where Dexter was drafted versus where Carter was drafted, it was like a clear day and night. Like, you got Dexter, I forget what round was Dexter drafted in, but I mean, it was one of those, like, it was a huge, like, positional, like, the fact that he was drafted so much later than Carter but was performing slightly just below, it was a huge steal for us as Bears organization. Because, I mean, he just played very well. So, like I said, hopefully, Pickens, who was, I can't remember if he was drafted before or after Dexter, but he was drafted in the same round, I believe, or maybe one round after. But they came in together. Hopefully Pickens will, you know, maybe year two, start making some progressions. Because, like I said, I would love to see that rotation on that front, those front defensive tackles start getting going. Cause, that would be awesome to see, just a good pass rush up the middle, good run stuffers. One of the, UDFAs, that we signed, and I'm not sure if it is Keith Randolph or if it was Jamri Chroma, one of those two, there was a lot of hype that he should have been a fifth or sixth round pick, but he ends up going UDFA. So the Bears got potentially a decent prospect there, undrafted free agent. So hopefully they can come in and, you know, fight for a spot.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of battles out there, and signing these undrafted free agents and rookies is going to fill out the roster for the Chicago Bears. So what we're going to do, and as you guys were, you know, mentioning all this, what popped into my head was we have a lot of young talent going around with all the different Chicago teams. If you look at the Bears, it's a new culture. It's a whole new way of thinking, new way of doing things. We have Caleb, who's like E-Rock said, that he's going to be a leader. He's already talked to pretty much everyone that's been drafted, saying, come on, let's go, get on the train. We're going to go. We're going to ride this all the way through. Let's go. You've got, you know, with the Blackhawks, you got Connor Bedard and Kevin Korchinski. A good start, base to start with the Blackhawks rebuilding. They're going to have either the number one or number two pick this draft. This is a young Chicago resurgence and rebuild for a lot of these teams, and they're coming up all together.
I just want to real quick have Big Z say what was the other guy on the Blackhawks besides Connor Bedard real quick?
Korchinski.
Oh man, that's my favorite part of the show. Is just that's why JC, I wish you would have gave him a list of like names to say when you were just sitting there struggling through names. I'm like, bro, this is Big Z's bread and butter right here. I mean, he loves just, you know, just saying everyone's name wrong. That's my favorite part of the show.
Isn't that Korchinski?
Sure,
Korchinski.
Look, if you don't know, how the hell do I know?
I'm reading it. It's Korchinski. I mean, I got Polish friends.
Look, you just proven that you're from Chicago. That's all. That's all. That's Ukraine. That's living in Ukrainian village. That's what that is.
I know all the skis, man. Come on. I mean, you got the Blackhawks young and up and coming. The Bears completing, you know, this is like phase two of the rebuild. We got, well, I say one more good draft. So a couple of free agents next year. And man, we are going to be so hot. You got the Cubs. Lots of young talent on that team, right? You supplemented it with some veterans. I think they're a couple moves away. I still think they need, you know, a bullpen, another starter, because Kyle Hendricks and Drew Smiley are just ass right now.
Trevor Bauer is cooking in Mexico. Go get him already. Trevor Bauer, what are you doing?
We've been saying for 3 months already, man.
I'm just saying he's cooking over there. He's cooking.
Yeah, he had 9 strikeouts the last thing.
The only problem is also he's not cooking against MLB players. So, you know, little discretion, you know.
Hey, you know. Did Mexico beat up on the U.S. in the cup or whatever? I forget, what did they call it? The Baseball World Cup or whatever the hell it's called? Baseball
World Classic.
Yeah, there you go. Mexico beat up on the U.S. So, I mean, hey, let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it, man.
I mean, yeah, but I don't think it's all their stars on one team that Bauer's pitching against every day.
No.
So, like I said, you know what? We've talked about it.
Wagon, weren't you driving the bus with Trevor Bauer? What are you talking about now?
Yeah, no. Like I said, I've been driving that bus. Like I said, I've said multiple times, hey, for $700,000 league minimum, yes, I would sign him. Get him on the field. Let him show, hey, I can throw a 2 points. What, I don't know, a 2.45 ERA, you know, something respectable. And then at the end of the season, you trade them for, you know, a future prospect or some picks or, you know, whatever. And we move on from them at a league minimum, because there's going to be some other team, you know, if say the Cubs are not able to get there, or they don't look like they're going to be one of the teams that can seriously compete, you know, against the Dodgers or whoever, you know, will be there. Like I said, you know, you could easily flip him for some prospects to another team at a league minimum of $700,000.
You haven't read the fine print. So 700 to start with, and then he wants escalated bonuses. So based on how many wins, how many strikeouts, how many appearances, he'll get paid on those things. So while, yes, $700,000 is cheap for the team that's signing him at the trade deadline, that could be a $5 to $10 million contract.
Well, again, you want back in the MLB? You sign what I offer you. You can sit here and say, I want escalators and all this other stuff. Do you want back in the MLB? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. You want back in the MLB? Guess what? This contract is topping out at $4 million.
Which is fine. Which is completely fine. The teams have the power.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, you want the shot. You want to be back in the show. I will give it to you. But we ain't talking $10 million. We're talking somewhere maybe $4 to $5 million. Yeah, you know I mean, we're keeping it where at the end of the season, if I need to trade you, mm-hmm. I can trade you. Like that's where we're at. You know,
no problem with that at all. I mean, like I said, like you're getting him for what you need him for right now, and if you're waiting for some of the other guys to come up in the meantime, but you need to attack that rotation, and you need to find another couple of bullpen arms if you really honestly truly believe that when you're fully healthy as far as the offense on the field, when Suzuki comes back, when you get Cody coming back, you know, Neris could be the closer for sure. I mean, but since he's come to the Cubs, he doesn't have that flash that he did with the Astros. So, you know, if he can kind of get back in his groove, he can definitely be the closer of the team. But that means that you have to find someone else to fill those other spots in the bullpen as well. You know, you can't go out there trotting out Kyle Hendricks and Drew Smyly. You just can't do it because it's, again, I talked about it last time. That's a nightmare scenario, right? You get Hendricks starting and Smyly. Like, I'm not smiling when Smiley's up there. It's not happening.
Oh, you're definitely not smiling. Never. No.
I do want to mention one thing. We're talking about young players and I think it's you look at what's going on with the Blackhawks right now. Did they have a great season? No, but Bedard was phenomenal. I mean, he just played his ass off, right? You look at what's going on with the Cubs, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze. You're looking at what's going on with the Cubs right now. Michael Busch killing it at first. Morel is a little shaky right now. He's not really throwing the ball that great as from third to first, and he's not really doing well on offense right now either. But PCA came up, got his first major league hit, which was a home run. That was awesome. They struggled in game two against the Red Sox over in Boston. But we did see Matt Mervis make his pitching debut. That was awesome. And that 17-0 loss that the Cubs took.
I blame my friends who decided to fly from Chicago to Boston to attend that game. All four of you, if you're listening, you are mushes. You are the reason that we lost 17-0.
I think they should buy us Italian beefs. It's because of that.
Look,
it's funny. Three of my guys flew from Chicago. One of my guys flew from Arizona because they just wanted to attend a Cubs game in Fenway. I mean,
it's probably
not the best game to attend.
I did not realize that they were playing the Red Sox in Boston. And as soon as I learned that, I'm like, every time the Cubs go to Boston, I say to myself, I wish I would have went to that freaking game. I keep wanting to go, and I keep forgetting. Now, it's not saying that I want to go to Boston in April, because I'm sure it's shit weather like it is here.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Fenway. I really want to go, and that's when else. I'm not going to see the White Sox over there. I'm not. Yeah. I can't. If I'm going to go watch a historic team play in a historic ballpark, it's going to be the Cubs, and it's going to be the Red Sox. That's still in the bucket list, I'm hoping. But I want to mention this before we get too deep into the show. We don't have time. I don't want to run out. We talk about young players. We are about to start. We just had the WNBA draft. We're about to start the WNBA season.
Yep.
Vila Cardoso and Angel Reese came to the Chicago Sky. Very high picks. There was 5 members of the media to meet Angel Reese. That is an absolute embarrassment after you just got 2 players that just finished winning the last 2 NCAA championships. Caitlin Clark is getting all the love in the world, and good for her. But you as a Chicago media, you as a Chicago sports town that loves our sports, how are you just going to sit there and flat out ignore the Chicago Sky after they just brought you a championship a couple years ago? Candace Parker, I was going to mention her. Thanks for stealing my thunder and contributing to the show, David.
Hey, but David's watching and listening, so we love David.
You had Candace help bring a championship here. A lot of people are saying she was afraid of Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and all these guys, which, whatever. I mean, like, she's doing her thing. She's making her money. But how are you the third largest media market in the United States in the sports landscape? And it's supposed to be an amazing sports town. We got two baseball teams. We got every sport you can imagine here. And you just completely ignore this team. That's an embarrassment to the media of Chicago. I'm really, really upset about this.
I didn't even know when that it was happening. So we need them to be a little bit more aggressive and spend a little bit more money when it comes to advertising these things, right? If Caleb were to do a Instagram live right now, it would have millions. If the Chicago Sky would to go live right now, it'd probably have maybe 40 people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they would turn us off immediately and go to Caleb. Like,
yes. Like, oh, no, 100%. And we don't blame you. We don't blame you. We want to know what color Caleb was painting his nails. But it is, like you said, it is very much a disgrace. I do support the Chicago Sky. I've been to multiple games. I went to the playoff games. It's fun to go down there. It's a good team. But there's no connection, unfortunately, with the fan base right now. And whether it's a male or female that's supporting the team, there's no connection. And I think they are playing in a small venue that's kind of hard to get to. They're playing at the Wintrust Arena down right by McCormick Place. And yes, it's beautiful because it's right there off the lake. But at the same time, it's kind of difficult to get there. Would I prefer they played at the Allstate Arena or the United Center? Yeah, but I think the United Center is a little too big for them. They should move that Indiana game over.
Town, they'll play in the United Center.
That hasn't been
the perfect place for the Sky to play is where the G League plays.
Where the what?
Out in where the Bulls G League? What is it? Out the by
Schaumburg. The Schaumburg Center. Yeah, they used to play there.
Yeah. To me, like I said, you don't want to get too big a venue because, I mean, to host events, it's a lot of money to turn the lights on. So you get too big a venue, you know, it's a lot. Right.
It is. And most of those tickets that, you know, you get fans to go there are free tickets. They're free tickets given out to friends and family or the schools.
Radio stations. And
right, exactly. It is a lot of free tickets. They want to get people in the building. And it's a fun time. It really is a fun time down there with the Chicago Sky. Tickets are fairly cheap. The stadium is a pretty cool stadium. Remember, me and E-Rock went over there for you. Was it not a Bellator fight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so why not put them at the UIC, at the UIC arena? You have college kids there. You can create interest there. Partner up with UIC. Create a funnel for to go through there. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. Yeah,
Now, one thing I will say is that I 100% believe that this is on the Chicago Sky because listening to the radio today, listening to the media, you know, I think it was Cap and Jay Hood and all this. Nobody reached out to the radio stations. Nobody reached out and says, hey, this is what our thing is. You yes. have to do what, hey, Tribune, Sun-Times, The Athletic, CHGO, True Chicago Sports Fans, ESPN, call us up, we'll show up. You know what I mean? Like, make it a big deal for all the kids in the city, for all the girls out there playing sports that want to see, because there's not other women's professional sports in Chicago right now. Right?
No, there isn't. This is how you do it. What girls basketball team won a championship in the city? Oh, no one knows, right? Because no one, that's not on the news. But let's say let's say it was Whitney Young. You hold a press conference at Whitney Young with that team. That's going to get press. You're doing it at a CPS school. You're giving back. You're creating a connection with young people. You got to learn how to do that for yourself and advocate for yourself. So, again, I am a big supporter. I'll be following the games. And I guess they're on – what are they on NBC Sports Chicago?
I think a lot of those games are going to be on Marquee.
Oh, that's right. They switched to Marquee.
Yeah, a lot of
games. So no one's going to be watching them. Great.
No. All of us intelligent fans have
Marquee. No, you have to subscribe to Marquee. And no one's who – God.
Hey, Mark,
do you have to subscribe to Marquee? Because I don't.
We'll talk after the show, JC. I need the
serious activities. That's what he's talking about right there.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. All my stuff is on the up and up.
Hey, one more thing before we kind of get towards the end.
Yeah, we'll close out.
Up and up. I know a lot of people are tired of Kelsey, whether it's Travis, whether it's Jason. I love Jason Kelsey. I think he's awesome. Came out at WrestleMania when they were in Philly. Yeah. And guess what? He is going to be one of the new hosts on Monday Night Countdown. I'm super excited to see him as part of the media. I think it's really cool. Another thing that's coming out that's sports related is the roast of Tom Brady is going to be on Netflix. And apparently Belichick is going to be involved in it. He's going to be there. So we're going to actually get to hear him say something from under the hoodie. Oh, the emperor over there. We're going to see him actually make some jokes. So I'm really looking forward to it because everyone always says that he has a great sense of humor. You just never actually hear it unless you're in that locker room with him.
Yeah, well, Bill Belichick did not have a whole lot of nice things to say about Caleb. So, hopefully he has better things to say about Tom.
So what? He hasn't been a good tally evaluator in years. He was a GM there. No, he was a GM there. Who did he draft that was good?
Quarterback wise, I mean, you had Jimmy Garoppolo, you had Brissett. He's done okay with quarterbacks.
No, I'm talking about talent in the last 5 years. Top talent in the last 5 years.
No, wide receivers and that stuff. No, absolutely not. But like I said, he's been okay at picking halfway okay quarterbacks.
Have the Bears. So have the Bears.
Right. Halfway okay is
Is right up our alley.
Going back to WNBA, that's kind of sad to hear that. Their PR teams and their marketing teams definitely need to do a better job. I mean,
Chicago Scott, I'll work for y'all. Let's do this.
Yeah. How do you have two highly drafted people and then you sit there and just roll out a red carpet to an empty, seating area? Like I said, give us a call. We'll come cover it. We'll talk about, women's basketball. We ain't got no problem with that. Anything that helps, the Chicago sports teams get their recognition, I'm all for it.
We had a long in-depth discussion about women's basketball before. It didn't end in an argument whatsoever. It was great the whole time.
Yeah, and as for the whole Kelsey situation, I could definitely deal without Taylor Swift. Travis and Jason, I listen to some of their New Heights stuff where, they're constantly talking about Coach Reed or, anything where you get some insight into the NFL, it's always great to listen and watch. I don't care for the whole, we need to pan to, Taylor Swift now.
I like the fact that Taylor Swift was involved because I have daughters and I know a lot. My daughters didn't get into it. One is too young. One doesn't give shit. But there was a lot of daughters a lot of fathers and daughters that watched Super Bowl, watched playoff games, watched football, NFL for the first time, actually bonding with your daughter. Me and my daughter have softball. That's what we bond over. But I'm going to tell you what, as a girl dad, I thought it was really cool because they finally had something to bond over. You had a lot of, like, as silly as it sounds, a lot of guys' wives that were into football because of that. So to me, to see, again, the same way we would want to support women's sports, to see them kind of being brought into our world, just like if you were going to watch some shitty romantic comedy that you didn't want to watch, and by the end of the movie, you're sitting there with your wife and you got tears rolling down your face. There's nothing wrong with that because what it does is it makes it a little bit more inclusive. And you're talking about the top pop star in the world. I have no problem with them, bringing her on the screen because then the you got your little girl.
I don't mind it. I think it was just how much, I don't like if you want to talk about her, great, but I don't need you to pan to her seven times.
Who cares?
You know what I mean? Like I said, to me, that's just
a 3-hour football game. Who cares? You didn't miss anything. They didn't miss any scoring. There was no touchdowns or a miss. You still heard the whole game. It's to me, that's silly. That's as goofy as complaining about someone painting their fingernails. Who the hell cares? It doesn't change the game whatsoever. Just let the little girls have their, like, oh my God, it's Taylor Swift live. I can actually see her in person on the TV. I'm completely fine with that. It's just
again, as a football fan, I'd rather see a replay and going over X's and O's than
you're gonna see that anyway. That's all they do all day. The 30 seconds worth of screen time that Taylor Swift gets does not change that whatsoever.
It's not just 30 seconds, though, bro. It's 30 seconds seven times.
No, I don't think you understand how time works. Was that?
All right. It's that time, fellas. All right. So. This is great. This is great. And, you know, we're going to be talking a lot more football as the season goes on, as the summer goes on and so forth. But this is great, guys. But you know what? Let's close the show with a stirring a pot. I got a little something for you. Uh-oh. So let me see. Do I have it up here? Yeah, I do have it up here. All right. So you know what time it is. It's time for stirring the pot. And I'll hit the bell because, you know, we got to fight a little bit over this because we are going to fight over it. Where's the boxing bell? Here we go. All right, so I'm going to put this image up on the screen for you guys. See if I can just draw. Can I draw, move you guys over? Yeah, I can probably edit you guys. Let's see. Edit. And let's see if we can make you guys a lot smaller.
I see a Frosty. That's what I'm good seeing. Luck.
All right, so you can't see all the images. I'm going to move myself out of there, too. And move you guys over here somewhere.
McDonald's McFlurry, Popeye's Banana Pudding Parfait.
Yeah, so
McDonald's apple pie.
You've got to choose one. You got the McDonald's McFlurry Oreo. You got Popeye's banana pudding parfait. McDonald's apple pie. Jollibee peach mango pie. I don't know where one of those is at. Wendy's original Frosty. Taco Bell cinnamon sticks or Burger King's Hershey Sunday pie. Woo-wee! That's a lot of sugar.
This is easy for me. Because that McFlurry is the bummiest dessert. You want one of them that actually tastes good? Go to Culver's
and get you. I was about to say, can I go off script?
No. You got to choose one of these things. I know Culver's is great.
Because I'm going Culver's as well. If that's an option.
No, it's not an option. Pick one of these crappy ones.
They're not all crappy.
I'm joking.
I'm gonna give you mine, and it's the winner, and because it's the best one on here, and it's that. The Hershey pie from Burger King is by far blows out whatever weird mango and banana pies that they got out there. That old ass McDonald's apple pie that it was so shitty. They used to give it away for like, you know, 50 cents.
Two for a dollar.
Banana pudding parfait. Stick to chicken, Popeyes. The only thing that could possibly have a fight in this aside from that Hershey pie is the Frosty. That's the only thing with French fries, dip it in there. I did see a guy from England who's like, dipping anyone that takes a French fries or chips, you know, they're really called chips, and dunks it into something that's sweet is absolutely disgusting. I'm like, bro, you guys eat beans on toast. Shut the hell up. No one wants to hear about your food opinions. There's a reason why your teeth look like that.
Tell us how you really feel, E. Tell us how you really feel.
If I'm forced to pick one of these,
yes, sir,
it would have to be the McFlurry or the Frosty, in my opinion. One. Which, well, the problem is every time you go to a McDonald's, the McFlurry machine's down, so you never get to get it anyway. So
take your butt over to Wendy's, get yourself a Frosty and some fries.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, like Wendy's, they offer that, like, buy a keychain, get the little mini Frosty, whatever. Yeah. Like year round for like $3.99. It's a hell of a deal. I'm gonna go Frosty with the all year like $3.99 keychain.
You know what? I have to agree with both of you. Wendy's Frosty, Lane Tech days.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is a Junior Bacon Double Cheeseburger? Woo! That Burger King Hershey pie. That's probably the only thing I eat at Burger King.
The 99-cent nuggets from Wendy's back in the day. Yep. Yeah, man.
They had the good barbecue sauce back then. Now it's trash.
Yeah. No,
right? Now you got to go with the $6 biggie bags. You know, that's the only way you get your money now.
Yeah, that's true. But it's weird because Wendy's fries always gave me hiccups.
Not a big fan of their fries, especially when they first came out with sea salt. Oh, my God. They were over salting. It was not good.
Yeah. I mean, That was there. I remember it was the skin on fries. They're like, try them. You'll love them. And I'm like, what if I don't? What you going to do about that? What you going to do about that, Wendy? You took away my ashtrays and the little, remember the little metal ashtrays in the lounge over there? Where that was the coolest thing about those at least the Wendy's restaurants where they had that outside with the little sunroom. That was always really cool. And then this is aging myself very much so, but we would eat our 99 cent burger and our Frosty, and you just sit there and you know, rip your cigarettes and sit there because, like, guess what? You can smoke inside. No one gave a shit.
Yeah. The 90s were awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, boys, this has been a fun time. Great show. But we got to wrap it up. I got to flip this show and put it on the YouTubes and all that stuff. So, anything else in closing?
Green Bay sucks. That Green Bay sucks.
Green Bay sucks, yes.
And let me tell you something real quick. Green Bay fans, if you're listening, your days are numbered. Your days are numbered because we're coming for you. I don't care how many times you've beat us in a row. I don't care how many guys named Love you got on your team. I don't care how many times you guys keep flipping over a damn quarterback room and getting another great quarterback. Your days are numbered. I'm talking about the whole NFC North, but particularly the Packers, and I think their fans know that. I've seen a lot of fans get real nervous about this draft, and they're like, oh, shit, here come the Bears. The least scary mascot in all of NFL. Go ahead and pack your boxes. Go to Amazon, whatever you got to do. We're coming for you, and it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. It's not nearly going to be as pretty as the brand new stadium they put out there that we're all going to pay for, right?
No, that's no. Anyways, before we leave, I wanted to talk about Caleb already starting promotions and going. That's a new Bears thing to do. Give him the Bears face and the claws. Yeah.
I love it. Well, people are like, well, that's not his. It was Bears man. And I'm like, the thing I found funny about that is that they gave Caleb a hard time about his fingernails. This Bears man been out there in full makeup, full ass makeup for years. For years. No one says nothing about a guy's makeup. No one
bats an eye.
That the fingernails is a problem, right? But makeup is cool. Like, whatever. But yeah, I'm all for it. I hope to see like just a bunch of people being silly. I think that's the cool thing about Caleb, really, because he has a personality that, like, whether they win or whether they lose, he's going to be emotional about it. He's going to be silly when he needs to be. You know, if they're up, like, you know, if they end up winning by, like, you know, 30 points or whatever, he's going to be silly about it. He's going to have fun with it. You're going to see him doing this all the time. I'm perfectly cool with it. Just, he has the type of personality that doesn't seem like he's going to be too up, too down, but he does have emotion that he brings to the table. And I absolutely love it, especially watching, you know, Justin being very baseline and the years of Cutler pouting all the time. I'm all for this kid with all his energy and his hype. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens, come August and September.
Sounds good. All right, y'all. That is it for today. Thank you for listening. A big thank you to our sponsors, 606 Media, True Chicago Sports Fans, and Grit Clothing Company. Don't forget to go to gritclothingco.com and get your official TCSF podcast t-shirt. Search for keyword True Chicago and use our promo code TrueFan15 at the checkout for 15% off your entire order. That is TrueFan15. Get your shirts now. All right, check out the other shows on the 606 Media lineup. You can check out No Water in the Weekend with Steven and Sean, a pop culture forward podcast that dabbles in funny trivia and film. You can check out my other podcast. It is called Impossicated, where I interview interesting people from all walks of life. All that, mine's is on YouTube. Theirs is on every audio version of a podcast. So check those out. Check us out on social media. Because find us at TCSF Pod on Twitter. Find us on TikTok and on Facebook, IG, Spotify. Reach out to us on our email. We want to hear from you. Reach us at truechicagosportsfans@gmail.com. All right. For E-Rog and JC, I am Big Z, and we'll see you next time for episode 193. And until then, be good to each other for the love of sports.
Swish.